is very entertaining. And they say we'll have some fun if it stops raining. I went hiking with Joe Spivey. He developed poison ivy. You remember Leonard Skinner? He got ptomaine poisoning last night after dinner. All the counselors hate the waiters, and the lake has alligators, and the head coach wants no sissies, so he reads to us from something called Ulysses. Now I don't want this should scare you, but my bunkmate has malaria. You remember Jeffrey Hardy? They're about to organize a searching party. Take me home, oh Marafana, take me home. I hate Granada, don't leave me out in the forest where I might get eaten by a bear. Take me home, I promise I will not make noise or mess the house with other boys. Oh, please don't make me stay. I've been here one whole day. Dearest Fada, darling Mada, how's my precious little brother? Let me come home if you miss me. I would even let Aunt Bertha hug and kiss me. Wait a minute, it stopped hailing. Guys are swimming, guys are sailing, playing baseball, gee, that's better. Mada Fada, kindly disregard this letter.
Welcome to The Storytellers. I'm Natalie Harris. We share stories, and music. So the Storytellers cannot be made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by CORE, Community Options for Resources in Education, a personalized learning California charter school accredited by the Western Association of Schools and Colleges. CORE offers a unique blended and non-classroom public education model based on the needs and interests of each individual student. Information is available on the web at coretca.org or by calling 894-3952. So that was Hello Mada, Hello Fada by Alan Sherman. And I'm doing a camp theme because it's summer and that means there's going to be a lot of summer camps. And I like to volunteer at Camp Shadaka during the summer as well. So here I'm doing a different layout today. I'm doing just one story, one chapter book. So here is Mystery at Summer Camp by P.J. Ryan. Rebecca had been counting down the days until school ended. It was not because she didn't like school. She did. It was because as soon as the day started heating up and getting longer, she knew that summer was coming, which meant summer camp. It also meant she would get to spend some time with her older cousin, RJ. "I can't wait, I can't wait," she said to Mouse as soon as school ended. "Me either," Mouse grinned. He went to the same summer camp she did. "I wonder if they'll have that delicious bread pudding again." "Ugh," Rebecca shook her head. "That's the only thing I don't like about summer camp." "Well, that's all right. You can give me yours," Mouse laughed. On the morning they were to leave, Rebecca was so excited that she could barely stand waiting for the bus. "I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait," she whispered gleefully. Mouse rolled his eyes and sighed with relief when the bus finally arrived. The trip was a long one, taking them from the little town of Curtis Bay to the sprawling woods. When they climbed off the bus, there were already many kids at the camp. They were all chatting loudly and greeting each other after a long year apart. Rebecca waved to a few of the kids that she remembered from the year before, but she was really only looking for one familiar face. That face was not hard to find because the boy belonged to was perched on a branch in a tall tree not far off from the ground. "RJ," Rebecca shouted happily and waved to him. Mouse waved eagerly too, and they both ran over to the older boy. RJ was 11, which made him practically a grown-up in Rebecca's mind. He was her cousin, and each year they went to the same summer camp together. RJ taught her a lot about being a detective because he was an official junior detective. He mailed away for a kit and everything. The year before, he showed Rebecca the magnifying glass and fingerprinting set that had come in the kit. He even had his very own badge. RJ had red hair, just like Rebecca, but he always wore a detective hat, even when he went swimming. "Hi there," RJ grinned as he jumped down from the tree branch to greet them. "I've been waiting for you guys all morning." He gave his cousin a quick hug and patted Mouse on the back. When he did, a little white mouse poked its nose up out of Mouse's pocket. It wiggled its whiskers at RJ. "Aha, I see that you brought one of your pets," RJ said nervously. He was not a big fan of mice. "Don't worry," Mouse said with a grin. "This is Magellan. He's supposed to be a famous explorer, but really," he whispered his next words, "he's a scaredy mouse." Mouse is right, because his little pet dove right back into his pocket the moment he saw all the commotion around him. "Are you ready for a great summer?" Rebecca asked cheerfully, as she, RJ, and Mouse walked toward their cabins. "It's great to be back in the fresh air," RJ said, and then lowered his voice, "and out of the dangers of the city." "Dangers?" Mouse asked with a squeak. "Oh yes," RJ nodded. "There have been many mysteries for me to solve this year." "We've been solving mysteries too," Rebecca said proudly, and Mouse nodded. "You must always be careful," RJ warned. "Detective work is best left to professionals." He showed her the badge he had clipped to his belt. Rebecca nodded, but she felt a little sad. She knew she was a good detective, and she wanted her cousin to know that too. Mouse and RJ were staying in a boy's cabin while Rebecca was staying on the other side of the campfire in a girl's cabin. She was sad to have to stay alone, but there were a few girls she knew from the year before, and some nice new friends to make too. However, as soon as they had their things settled, RJ and Mouse came running over to her cabin. "There's going to be a sing-along," Mouse said happily. RJ rolled his eyes. "Kid stuff." Rebecca frowned. She loved the sing-along. Did that make her too much of a kid? As they gathered in the bleachers around the campfire, they were all chatting with one another. It wasn't until a few minutes passed that the campers began to realize that there was no one waiting to lead them with the singing. In fact, there were no counselors around at all. Then suddenly, in the center of the campground, there was a big burst of smoke. It seemed to come from nowhere. "What was that?" Rebecca shouted as she stood up. RJ stood up right beside her, and they both looked ready to investigate. But when the smoke cleared, the sound of a guitar filled their ears. Where no one had stood a moment before was a man dressed in a counselor's outfit with a guitar slung over his shoulder. He began to sing the camp song. All the kids in the bleachers were so shocked by the scene that they didn't sing along. The man who had long blonde hair and brown eyes with a big smile continued to sing as if he didn't care if none of the students sung along. Mouse, who was staring with wide eyes and an open mouth, began to clap loudly. Soon the other kids began to clap too. Rebecca was the first one to start singing. Then the other kids, except for RJ, of course, joined in. When the song was over, the counselor introduced himself. "My name is Lewis, and I am a new counselor here this year. I'll be in charge of entertainment. We'll be having lots of campfires and even a play, and a magic show." "A magic show?" Mouse squealed, and could barely keep from jumping up and down on the bleachers. Mouse was a big fan of magic, and was hoping to be a magician himself one day. "This year is going to be great." RJ sighed. "Great, singing, acting, and magic. Where's the fun in that?" "I think it'll be fun," Rebecca said firmly, "but I bet we don't go through this summer without stumbling over a mystery or two." "I hope so," RJ grinned. "I have a lot to teach you, little cousin." After the sing-along was over, the three began exploring the campground. There was not much new to see, as they had been attending the camp for a few years. Rebecca found the bird's nest she had spotted the year before, and it had new baby birds in it. Mouse found the little cage he had made out of twines and branches for the last mouse pet he had brought along, right where he had left it. "Are you sure he can't get out of there?" RJ asked suspiciously as he peered into the cage. "The last one didn't," Mouse shrugged. RJ glanced up from the cage and noticed something glittering in the leaves ahead of them. "What's that?" he wondered. When he stopped closer and brushed the leaves away, he discovered that it was a sparkly guitar pick. "Weird," Rebecca frowned. "What would a guitar pick be doing all the way out here?" "Maybe someone dropped it on a hike," Mouse suggested. "Maybe," Rebecca said thoughtfully. "We should bring it back to the camp and see if anyone lost it." "Sure," RJ nodded, but he was staring at the pick. As they walked back to the camp, the sun was setting. It was time to share a meal and then head back to their cabins for the night. At dinner, they are treated to hamburgers and french fries, a celebration of their first night at camp. After dinner, they told a few ghost stories around the campfire. "That's not possible," RJ muttered to Rebecca when one of the kids told a story about a zombie. "Maybe it wasn't really a zombie, but somebody dressed up like a zombie," Rebecca pointed out. "Good thinking, little cuz," RJ said with a grin. "You get smarter every time I see you." Rebecca went back to her cabin with a grin on her face. She was so proud of the compliment her cousin had given her that she forgot entirely about the guitar pick they had found in the woods. Early the next morning, Rebecca heard a knocking on the door of her cabin. Most of the other kids in her cabin were still sleeping. She walked sleepily to the door and found Mouse standing on the other side. "Rebecca, something terrible has happened," he announced. "What is it?" Rebecca asked with a gasp. "Mr. Lewis is gone," he said in a whisper. "He's disappeared." Rebecca stepped outside of the cabin, still in her pajamas, and closed the door. She looked Mouse directly in the eyes. "What do you mean he disappeared?" Mouse sighed and started again. "I got up early this morning because I wanted to ask Mr. Lewis if I could help him with his magic show. But when I knocked on the counselor's cabin, they said that Mr. Lewis was gone." "What do you mean gone?" Rebecca pressed with frustration. Well, Mouse hesitated. They said he must have gone home. They hadn't seen him after the sing-along yesterday. Oh, Mouse, Rebecca sighed. Going home is not exactly the same thing as disappearing, is it? No, he frowned. But, Rebecca, I don't believe it. Didn't you see how excited he was yesterday about putting on all the shows? Why would he just decide to leave? Rebecca frowned, too. It did seem strange. Well, maybe he had an emergency. Or maybe he realized how many mosquitoes were in the woods. She smacked her arm sharply as a mosquito made a feast out of her. I don't think so, Mouse shook his head. Rebecca, I know I'm not usually the one who finds the mysteries, but I have a feeling about this one. And what feeling would that be? RJ asked from just behind them. He had woken up early to investigate some sounds he had heard the night before just outside his cabin. Mr. Lewis is gone, Mouse explained quickly. Maybe the birth got him, another voice said. It was a kid even older than RJ. He was going to blow the bugle to wake everyone up for the morning when he overheard their conversation. Who's Bertha? RJ asked. You've never heard of Bertha? The boy asked with a chuckle. She's the bear that lives in these woods. What? Rebecca shook her head. I've never heard of any bear living in these woods. Oh, the boy lowered his voice. That's because they're just kids. They don't want to scare you. But my big brother was a counselor here, and he told me all about Bertha. She's a giant bear, and every once in a while she gets hungry. Rebecca shivered at the thought. Mouse glared at the boy, and Archer tapped his chin thoughtfully. Well, if the bear were big enough, he shrugged. Mr. Lewis did not get eaten by a bear, Mouse said, and stomped his foot against the dirt. This kid is just trying to scare us, aren't you? He asked. Well, the older boy shrugged. I guess until you see for yourself, you never believe me. With that, he stalked off to the microphone that he would blow his bugle into. Do you know he might be right? Rebecca asked quietly. No way, Mouse said sternly. Well, it is the woods, RJ pointed out. If this were the city, I wouldn't think so. But there are a lot of animals that live in the woods. Listen, Mr. Lewis has gone and we need to find him, Mouse said firmly. I don't care if he was a bear or an alien, but we need to find out what happened. RJ sighed heavily and shook his head. Mouse, aliens aren't real. Mouse rolled his eyes and stalked off across the campground. I'm going to find him with or without your help, he called over his shoulder. Don't worry, Mouse, we'll help, Rebecca called after him. She looked back at her cousin to see if he was coming too, but saw that he was staring at something in his hand. She noticed the sparkle. It was a glittery guitar pick they'd found in the woods the day before. Oh, no, Rebecca said quietly. Oh, no is right, RJ agreed as they held the guitar pick up into the air. I think Bertha just might be involved after all. Maybe he just dropped it, Rebecca pointed out. Why would he have been all the way out in the woods, though, RJ asked. It seems a little strange to me. Me too, Rebecca agreed. Come on, let's tell Mouse we're on the case. Mouse, wait, Rebecca shouted as she chased after him. What are you kids doing running around camp? The counselor asked as she spotted them. You should be getting in line for breakfast. But we have to find, Mouse began to say. You don't have to find anything until after breakfast, she said sternly. There are dangers in these woods, and you can't just go running off like this. You guys have been here before. You should know the rules. I'm sorry, Miss Cindy, Rebecca said quickly. We just thought that we saw something in the woods. Yes, Archer said as he looked at the counselor, and I heard some strange noises outside of my cabin last night. It was probably just squirrels, Miss Cindy said. There are a lot of squirrels around here. You don't think it could have been a bear? RJ asked boldly and tilted up the brim of his hat. A bear? Miss Cindy laughed and shook her head. I think you three have heard too many scary stories. Go back to your cabins, get dressed, and be ready at breakfast in 5 minutes, or no swimming today. She walked off toward the dining hall. See? No bears, RJ shrugged as he turned toward his cabin. Don't you think that's what any grown-up would tell a kid? Rebecca pointed out. Remember that boy said they didn't want the little kids to know about it. Well, RJ shrugged, I'm not a little kid. Rebecca frowned as she ran off to her cabin to change out of her pajamas. When she was dressed, she met Mouse and RJ for breakfast. Mouse was wiggling around in his seat. Hurry up and eat, we have to find out what happened to Mr. Lewis. And how are we going to do that? RJ asked. There has to be a way to prove that he's missing and that he didn't just leave, Rebecca said thoughtfully. We have this, RJ said, and laid the sparkly guitar pick on the table. But we don't even know for sure if it belonged to Mr. Lewis, Rebecca pointed out. The counselors are not going to believe us with just that. We need to find some proof. You're absolutely right, little cuz, RJ nodded. You really are getting good at this detective work. Thanks, Rebecca beams. Mouse sneaked some of the cheese from his egg sandwich to the mouse in his pocket. But how are we going to get proof? What proof might there be? Mouse asked. Well, RJ heard noises outside of your cabin, so maybe it was the bear. If it was the bear, it should have left proof behind, she smirked. Oh, gross. I'm not looking for bear poop, Mouse said sternly. No, ugh, Rebecca groaned. I meant footprints. Paw prints, RJ corrected smugly. So it's agreed, Rebecca asked hopefully. As soon as we can, we'll get away from the activities and see if we can find any bear tracks, she glowered at RJ. It was not easy to get away from the counselors as the first full day of camp was packed with activities. But 1 hour was set aside for nature time, and the campers were allowed to explore the woods as long as they did so in groups and didn't go past a certain point. As soon as they were allowed to go into the woods, Rebecca, Mouse, and RJ doubled back and headed for the boys' cabin. They walked around behind the cabin, searching through the grass and fallen leaves for any sign of a bear. "I don't see anything," Rebecca frowned. "I do," RJ sighed as he pointed to a family of squirrels running up and down a nearby tree. "Miss Linney was right, and that must have been what I heard after all." "Great," Mouse frowned. "Now how will we find Mr. Lewis?" "Maybe we should go back to where we found the guitar pick," Rebecca said. "If it is his, maybe we can find some tracks there." "Bear tracks?" Mouse asked nervously. "Maybe, or maybe Mr. Lewis's tracks," she said. The three moved through the woods as quickly and quietly as they could. They were past the boundaries the counselors had set, and if they were caught, they would be banned from swimming and even campfire activities. When they reached the part of the woods where they had found the guitar pick, RJ held up his hand. "Now everybody freeze. Until we know what happened to Mr. Lewis, this is officially a crime scene. There must be evidence all over the place." He whipped out a magnifying glass that had also come in his detective kit and began looking over the leaves on the ground. "I'll look for claw marks on the trees," Mouse suggested. Rebecca had her eye on something else. She noticed a broken twig in the middle of some crushed leaves. She crouched down beside it and looked at it more closely. Not far from it, she saw something in the dirt. "Look," she cried out happily, "look what I found." The two boys ran over to her to see what she had discovered. It was a shoe print. "So if it belongs to Mr. Lewis, then he wasn't attacked by a bear," Mouse said with relief. "But just what was he doing out in the woods alone?" RJ asked suspiciously. "Doesn't seem like a normal thing for a counselor to be doing." "Well, let's find out," Rebecca said as she began to follow the footprints. They led a little further into the woods and then down a trail. The trail was very overgrown with bushes. It looked as if no one had walked down it except Mr. Lewis in quite some time. "Where was he going?" Mouse asked with confusion. "Ouch," Rebecca frowned as a thorn in one of the bushes scraped her arm. "Doesn't seem like a nice walk in the woods, that's for sure." The trail ended at the edge of a clearing. There was nothing but dirt and a few shrubs to see, but there were no more footprints. "How is this possible?" RJ muttered to himself as he inspected the dirt closely with his magnifying glass. "He couldn't have just stopped walking," Rebecca whispered. "Unless," Mouse said hesitantly. "Unless what?" RJ asked as he and Rebecca looked at him. "Unless he was carried," Mouse said sadly, "by a Bertha." RJ and Rebecca exchanged worried frowns at Mouse's words. As much as Rebecca didn't want to believe that a bear had carried off Mr. Lewis, she also couldn't see another explanation. "Well, somehow he stopped making footprints," Rebecca shook her head. "But there aren't any bear tracks either," RJ pointed out. "There's no tracks at all, except her own." "Well, that's great," Rebecca suddenly said. "That means we've solved our mystery." "What?" RJ said with surprise. "How do you figure?" Mouse demanded. "We want to find Mr. Lewis, and we have," Rebecca said sternly. "A person can't just disappear, so Mr. Lewis has to be here somewhere." "Maybe he turned into a squirrel," Mouse suggested with a shrug. "Really?" RJ asked with an arched brow. "Mouse," Rebecca sighed and smacked her forehead. "He's not a squirrel." "So you're saying he has to be here somewhere," RJ said softly. "Well, maybe he didn't turn into a squirrel, but he might have climbed a tree." They all took turns looking as high up into the trees around them as they could. But there was no sign of a camp counselor who thought he was a squirrel. "If he's not in the trees, then where is he?" Rebecca said with frustration. She knew that they had, and all they had from the neck down on a large fallen tree limb inside. "No one is going to believe us, and poor Mr. Lewis will never be found." "What if there isn't anything to believe?" RJ pointed out. "So far, all we have found for evidence was some footprints that might not even belong to Mr. Lewis." "That's true," Rebecca nodded, "but I think Mouse is right. Something tells me Mr. Lewis is in trouble, and we need to find Rebecca. He needs some real evidence to back them up." His knees. When he did, his mouse escaped the front pocket of his shirt. It went running across the dirt. "Ah!" RJ shrieked and jumped up into the air as the mouse scuttled by his feet. "Get that thing! Get it! Get it!" he demanded as he jumped up and grabbed a low tree limb so that he could get away from the mouse. "Relax, it's just a little mouse." Rebecca couldn't help but giggle. "I don't like mice," RJ grumbled as he continued to swing from the tree limb. Mouse had jumped up to chase his little friend. "Come back here," he demanded as he ran after the mouse. As Mouse ran after his pet, they all heard Rebecca wince. "We are going to be in big trouble." "And we didn't even find Mr. Lewis," RJ shook his head. Rebecca knew if she didn't call out where they were, they would be, "We're here, we're okay." As soon as the words were out of her mouth, she heard a loud thump. She spun on her heel to see that Mouse had chased his pet into bushes. That was for sure. "He went to..." "No," Mouse shook his head. "There's something behind the bushes." "What?" Rebecca asked curiously and started to pull the bushes back. All three of them began tugging at the branches and leaves. Soon they found that the bushes had grown up around an old wooden shack. "Wow," Rebecca had known this was here. Look, that might be where my mouse went, Mouse said as he pointed to a small hole in the bottom of the wooden shack. We have to get inside. I can't leave without him. The counselors were getting much closer, and Rebecca knew that they wouldn't be happy that Mouse had brought a pet with him. They would make him go back to his cabin without his friend. She couldn't let that happen to Mouse. All right, let's see if there's a way in, Rebecca said quickly. They pulled harder at the bushes until they found a door. This must be it, Rebecca said as she tugged at the wooden handle on the front of the door. But the door wouldn't budge. A large, thick branch of the bushes was pinning the door shut. Hello, a voice called out from inside the shack. Hello, is there someone out there? Rebecca, Mouse, and RJ all froze at the sound of the voice. Do you think that's Magellan? Mouse whispered. No, silly, Rebecca laughed. It must be Mr. Lewis. Mr. Lewis, is that you? She called out into the shack. Yes, it is, Mr. Lewis called out. Oh, please help me get out. I've been stuck in here all night. Rebecca, RJ, and Mouse teamed up to tug at the branch. They pulled as hard as they could and were able to get the door part of the way open. Mr. Lewis gasped as lights blew into the dark shack that he had been stuck inside of. I'm so glad you kids found me, he said. He began pushing back against the door as they pulled, in an attempt to get the door all the way open. This isn't working, RJ frowned. We need to all push together. All three wedged themselves inside the door one by one so that they could push with all their might against the door with Mr. Lewis. But while they were pushing hard, the branch of the bush was pushing back just as hard. Can you get out, Mr. Lewis? Rebecca asked through gritted teeth. No, I'm sorry, Mr. Lewis sighed. You're much smaller than me. I can't fit through there. RJ lost his footing in the loose dirt and knocked accidentally into Rebecca, who lost her footing too. As they tried to get their balance, they weren't leaning their weight against the door anymore. With only Mouse left to push on the door, along with some help from Mr. Lewis, the door snapped shut once more. No, no, Rebecca cried out as she tried to shove her weight against the door again, but it was too late. One of the kids and Mr. Lewis groaned at their situation. Now how will we get out? Mr. Lewis sighed. We'll find a way, Rebecca said with determination. Mouse was busy looking around the shack. What are you looking for, RJ asked. For Magellan, Mouse replied as he searched the floor of the shack. You're with us, RJ gasped. What are you doing in here? Rebecca asked. Any special magic show for you guys, and I had heard rumors about the shack being out here. I thought if I found it, maybe I could use it for a disappearing act, he frowned. Well, you sure did, Mouse laughed as he scooped up a squeaking, squirming mouse and dropped him into his front pocket. RJ sighed with relief. Mr. Lewis nodded. I pried the door open, but it slammed shut before I could stop it, and then I couldn't get back out. Now we're all stuck, Mouse pointed out with a sigh. Hey, where did you kids go? Miss Lindy shouted from just outside the shack. The counselors were still looking for them. Come on, everyone, Rebecca said quickly. Let's make as much noise as we can. They banged on the wooden frame of the shack and shouted at the same time. We're in here, we're in here, under the bushes. The counselors soon discovered the hidden shack. They worked together to pull the branch of the bush that held down the door free. When the door swung open, Rebecca, RJ, and Mouse stepped out, followed by Mr. Lewis. Lewis, what were you doing in there? Miss Lindy asked in surprise. We all thought you went home early. Luckily for me, these kids came looking for me, Mr. Lewis said with a shake of his head. Otherwise, I might have been stuck in that shack for a very long time. Well, Lewis, Miss Lindy said with a frown, we have rules at this camp, you know. We follow the buddy system for a reason. Mr. Lewis nodded with a sigh. Rebecca was surprised that Mr. Lewis was the one getting into trouble. She held her breath as she wondered if they would be next. And as for you three, Miss Lindy said as she crossed her arms and stared at them, well, you're just regular heroes. Thanks to you, Mr. Lewis is safe. You should be very proud of yourselves. Rebecca beamed, as did Mouse, but RJ only shrugged. Well, I am a junior detective, after all, he said with a slight huff. You three have been so brave. I'll make sure I tell the cook to give you each extra dessert, Miss Cindy announced happily. Fantastic, Mouse said happily. Great, Rebecca cringed. She wondered just how much bread pudding Mouse could eat. That night at dinner, Miss Cindy announced to all the campers and other counselors that Rebecca, Mouse, and RJ had rescued Mr. Lewis. We should all give them a round of applause. All the other campers cheered and clapped for them. Rebecca felt very proud. Mouse barely noticed as he was too busy with three dishes of bread pudding in front of them. RJ smiled at Rebecca and gave her a thumbs up. Good work, little cuz, he said. We make a great team. At the end of the week, Mouse and Mr. Lewis were. Now I will make this little mouse disappear, Mr. Lewis announced and waved his magic wand over Magellan. I don't care where it goes as long as it stays away from me, RJ cringed. Rebecca laughed and waited with everyone else to see just where Magellan would show up. Oh dear, Mr. Lewis said as he lifted the box and discovered that there was no mouse underneath. It seems our little mouse might be missing, he said. He sighed dramatically. Rebecca suspected it was all part of the act. RJ pulled his feet up onto the bleachers. Then his eyes widened. Rebecca, he squeaked. Is my hat moving? Rebecca looked up at his brown detective hat and gasped. It was indeed wiggling back and forth on his head. Ah, RJ cried out and snatched his hat off the top of his head. There he is, all the kids cheered. Don't worry, RJ, I'll save you, Rebecca declared. She scooped Magellan up out of his thick red hair. See, no more little mouse, she grinned. My hero, RJ sighed as he sat back down. Rebecca couldn't have been prouder. The end. I really hope you enjoyed that story and that it was nice to do something different. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Remember that the storytellers cannot be made possible without the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Floral Native Nursery and Restoration, where the wild things grow. A California native nursery committed to the use of sustainable native plants for landscaping and restoration projects. For information about native plants and drought-tolerant landscape design, visit Floral Native Nursery and Rescue 2511. Online at floralnativenursery.com. And make sure to stay. We actually sing camping the song at a camping trip that I went with my class. It was a lot of fun, and I hope you like it. Here is Sipping Cider by Ed Maddox. See you next time.
Prettiest girl I says to her. What you doing that for?
What you doing that for?
Sipping cider. Says to me,
she'd rather sip cider
than sip one. So cheek to cheek, and jaw to jaw,
we both sip some, and suddenly
the same
lifted lip, and suddenly we're sipping
to our back
through a storm. A sip inside.
All call me Paul.
A sip and cider through a straw. Now 49 kids all call cider through a straw.
If you don't want no mother-in-law,
no mother-in-law, then don't sip cider, mother-in-law. Then don't sip cider through a straw.
Give it up, give it up.